A morning of today's daf Me'ilas Tetzvav. We are in the Mishnah on the top of the Amud. It is a new Mishnah. It's a new Perek, the fourth Perek of the Masechta. Our topic in this Perek is going to be Mitzarfin, Tziruf, combination, taking two items, combining them to get to the requisite amount. So there are, obviously, whenever talking about an Isser in the Torah and Mitzvahs as well, so there are Shirim, there is an amount that you have to benefit from, enjoy, eat, whatever the Isser is. And so our Mishnah is going to be discussing and dedicate itself to the topic of tziruf, of combination. So this is now the midpoint of the Masechta in terms of prakim. We are yesterday finishing. We finished the first three prakim of the Masechta, and we familiarized ourselves with the basic idea regarding Me'ila. First parak talked about karbanos. Second and third also, for the most part, talked about karbanos. First parak talked about karbanos where you did something wrong and whether or not there's still going to be an iser of me'ila, a din of me'ila. And the second and third parakim talk about where you did it correctly and whether or not, at what point in time does the iser of me'ila kick in, does it leave? And it really is, there are a couple of variables that we discussed in terms of when me'ila goes away. And so that has been our discussion since the beginning of the Masechta, but now here at the midpoint. So our discussion now is going to revolve around this idea of tziruf. The Mishnah begins. Kachem is veach. When it comes to the karbanos, so mitzarfin zeim zeh lemeila. So they're going to combine with one another for the prohibition of meila. Now the prohibition of meila is really a prohibition of hana, of getting benefit. And so it's not an achila, it's not an isra achila, although one could get benefit from it in terms of eating. Eating is certainly a way to get benefit from something. There's no question about it. But really, me'ila, when distilled, when you boil it down, so the isra of me'ila is an isra of benefit. If you take a look at that first Rashi, so it explains the first Rashi. Rashi writes, "Le'me'ila shim nanami beis mina kachim mizbeach b'shaver pruta ma'al umitzdarfen nami lechazayas lechayv alay mishum nosar or pigol o tamei o lechayv mishum amala b'chot." So when we're talking about tziruf over here, Rashi says we're talking about many things. When we're talking about the isra of me'ila, so I have less than a pruta's worth of this carbon, together, coupled together with less than a pruta's worth on this carbon. And so to get me to the isra of me'ila, they will combine to get me to the shava pruta, to the pruta's value worth of benefit that I receive. So in terms of me'ila, so because it's hana, the isra is an isra of hana, so it's not going to be a volume, but rather it's going to be a value. And the value is going to be a shava pruta. Mashi Enkin, Rashi then continued. Rashi says that when we're talking about isurei achila, like nosar, pigol, tameh, those are isurei achila, so there it's a kezias. And then Rashi also notes that it's also going to be kezias for the isur of mala v'chutz. Offering something outside the Beis HaMikdash. Offering something outside the Beis HaMikdash is a serious offense. It made it into the first Mishnah increases, meaning that it's one of the chayv increases. And there too, offering a kezias of carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash is subject to an iser d'oraisa of hala b'chutz. And our Mishnah, once again, is teaching us that the various parts of a carbon are going to combine to get to this shear of a kezias. So, our Mishnah, kashim mizbech, mitzarfin zem zeh lemeila, ulech chayv aleihem mishum pigel noser v'tameh. So when it comes to the category of kashim mizbeach, so it's going to combine towards me'ila, towards your isurei achila. Also, kachay bedekabais mitzarfen zeim zeh. If I have kachay bedekabais, they also will combine together one with another. So that means to say that if I have things that are dedicated towards bedekabais, so and I benefit from it, so once again, a little bit here and a little bit there, if they combine to make to a shava pruta, so then one is violating the isra me'ila. And we're actually going to go even one step further. The last part of the Mishnah, which is representing the biggest chiddush of the Mishnah, is that I could take less than a pruta's worth of kachay mizbeach and less than a pruta's worth of kachay bedekabayis and benefit from the two of them, and I'm still going to combine for the isser of me'ila. So me'ila now is going to cross even categories. Meaning that if I get benefit from Mizbech and Bedekabais and it's Mitzar for that of a Pruto, so then in fact it will combine. You have to wonder at this point in the Mishnah, so that last point of the Mishnah obviously represents the biggest Chiddush. Once I know that last part of the Mishnah, I don't need any of the other sections of the Mishnah. All the other sections of the Mishnah now become totally pointless or Chiddushless once I know that last part of the Mishnah. So you're wondering, the Gemara wonders as well. Hashta Yeshlama Diktani Echakashim is Bech, Echakashim Bekabais, the Hakidusha Sukufa, Hakidusha Zam, and Philo Haki Kitanim, it's Tarfim Zaim Zem. Once I know the last part of the Mishnah, that there's Siruf when it comes to Kashim is Bech, coupled with Kashim Bekabais, so Kashim is Bech and Kashim is Bech, Mi Baye, the first part of the Mishnah now, you've basically taken out any of the Chiddush of the first part of the Mishnah. It is so obvious now that if I have a little bit of Kashim is Bech coupled with a little bit of other Kashim is Bech, obviously they're going to combine. So the Gemara says, so what do I need the first part of the Mishnah for? No longer a Chiddush there. The Gemara says, you're right. Of course you're right. Mishum diktani ala l'chayv ala mishum pikul nos v'tameh, dekashim b'dekabayis lo ika hachi, mishum hachi kapalaglay. So the Gemara says, you're right, absolutely. In terms of the Isser of Me'ila and the idea of Tziruf, you're correct. There's nothing to be learned in the first case of the Mishnah. However, in the first case of the Mishnah, what do you have? Pigol nosar tameh. Those are exclusive to Kachim Mizbeach. Pigol Nosar Tameh don't exist by Kachim Bedek Abayis. So the first category over there, as far as Me'il is concerned, no Chiddush. But then the Mishnah teaches us about Pigol Nosar and Tameh and the idea of it starfus by Pigol Nosar and Tameh. Okay, that the Mishnah needed to teach us. So for that, the Mishnah gave us a category of Kachim Mizbeach. And that Kachim Mizbeach combined with one another. And then the Mishnah then might as well, in other words, then talk about Kachim Bedek Abayis combining with one another, even though in that second case of the Mishnah, there really is no Chiddush, meaning there's no Pigol Nosar V'Tameh, and it's only being Mitzarif for Me'ilah, there really is no Chiddush. But then the Mishnah sets us up for the big Chiddush, which is that even Kachim Mizbech and Kachim Bedek Abayis combine with one another. Okay. Amar Rav Yanai. The rest of the Amud Alf today is going to be focusing on the statement of Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai is going to make a big statement. In fact, such a big statement that eventually the Gemara is going to back away from the statement because it's really that big. And it's too big a chiddush. But that's going to be the remainder of the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Amar Rav Yanai Machvarta. Rav Yanai says the following seems clear to me. The word Machvarta in Aramaic means white. White over here means with clarity. Right? That's the way Rashi explains the Tosfos as well. Okay, so Amar Rav Yanai Machvarta. The following seems very clear to me. Ein chayav mishum me'ila ela akasha b'dekabayis ve'ola belvan. What subject to me'ila? I'll tell you what subject to me'ila. Kasha b'dekabayis, the category of items that I dedicate for temple upkeep. And presumably, we can add to that anything that, even though itself is not going to be used for temple upkeep, but the value of it is going to be used for temple upkeep. Remember that Mishnah that we learned just a short couple of days ago, giving us three different categories, Kashim Mizbech, Kashim Bedek Abayis, and those things which really serve neither purpose, but you could sell, and the proceeds can go towards the Bedek Abayis. So, it says Rav Yanai that when I have Kashim Bedek Abayis, and in terms of carbonos, carbon ola, and only carbon ola, those are the only things that are subject to me'ila, mina Torah. The rest of the carbonos world is not subject to me'ila, mina Torah. Now, at this point in the Masechta, if you've been following now for the last 2 weeks, you realize that that's really hard to understand, right? For the last 2 weeks, the last three prakim, we have been discussing me'ila as it relates to a carbon chatas, a carbon asham. The shlamim, the carbon todah, right? And the Mishnah didn't bat an eye when discussing me'ilah regarding all these other karbanos. And now along comes Rav Yanai, and Rav Yanai says that the only iser me'ilah min ha-Torah is first and foremost by all kasha bedek abayis. And then when it comes to karbanos, only the carbon olah. Now, in terms of a svara, actually he has a svara. And so let's read it. Let's read further in the Gemara to see a svara. Ella kachi bedek abayis va'ola bavan. My time. Why? Amakra nefesh kisim ol ma'al mi kachi Hashem. So if you read the pasuk says that a person's violating me'ilah. Again, there are only two pasukim in the Torah. I know three because of, you know, Vayomer Hashem. But Vayidaber Hashem. But there are only two pasukim in the Torah that describe me'ilah. But in those pasukim, it says nefesh kisim ol ma'al. If a person was to be treacherous, right? That's the literal translation of the word ma'al. Rashi over there in Chumash says it really means a change. But in our context, Mikache Hashem, what is going to be subject to Me'ila? Only something which is Kache Hashem. Now, I have been saying since the beginning of the Masechta that Kache Hashem is really a focus on the Karbanos and only on the parts of the Karban that go up onto the Mizbeach. Okay. What Rav Yanai is doing with this Pasuk is he's saying that this is giving us the broad definition of what is subject to Me'ila. Only something which is an exclusive domain towards the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning basically which is in Hashem's possession, right? That which is in his account. Anytime something is not exclusively within his account, so it's not subject to Me'ilah, Minatorah. Now think about it. A carbon chatas, a good part of that animal is going to be eaten by the kohanim. Same thing by a carbon asham. Shlamim, the vast majority of the animal is going to be eaten by the owners, by the kohen. So what Rav Yana is saying is that these things are not subject to me'ilam in the Torah. Kachem am yuchadim la'ashem yesh ba'am me'ilah, aval kachem esbech, isbehu la'kohanim, v'isbehu la'balam. So when it comes to an ola, the ola in its entirety is going up onto the mizbech, and therefore it is considered kachem Hashem. When you're talking about any other carbon, because it is going to be benefited from kohanim, owners, so therefore it's not, doesn't file under kachem Hashem, and therefore it's not going to be subject to me'ilah min ha'torah. Even at this juncture, meaning the Gemara is now going to go into total attack mode. And the Gemara is going to ask Mishnah after Mishnah, Braisa, statements of Amoraim, that all seem to go against this Chiddush of Rav Yanai. Eventually, spoiler alert, eventually the Gemara is going to reject the statement of Rav Yanai as it was originally presented. But even at this stage of the Gemara, one has to wonder, Tosus makes this point, this is not an original point I'm making. One has to wonder, even by the Karban Ola, it's not totally brought up onto the Mizbeach. The hide of the carbon ola is taken off the carbon and given to the kohanim. So even in your desire to make a distinction between something which is kula l'Hashem versus something which is going to be a portion and parts of it are going to be given to the kohanim, even a carbon ola, there are parts of it that are going to be given to the kohen. So what is the argument the Gemara is now presenting that when it comes to an ola, it's kula l'Hashem? It's not really kula l'Hashem. It's rubo l'Hashem. But not kula l'Hashem. Okay.
You would say maybe that the oil is already, it's not the mekudesh.
Right.
The oil is only the
skin
is separate.
Right. I was thinking and formulating. I was formulating some sort of svara. That even the hide itself, even though the hide itself obviously is not going up onto the mizbeach, but it's such a tangential item. It's such a secondary item.
He's only giving the animal, but the hide is like a
clothing. It's not considered part of the animal.
Right.
Okay. All right. You have to say something along those lines. Okay. Anyway. Now, but the Gemara from this point going forward is going to quote Mishnayos. So this will be a great review for us. Most of the Mishnayos that we're going to see, we've already seen. Some of them are upcoming in the Masechta. Remember, we're halfway through the Masechta. So we don't know everything about Me'ilah. And after we go through the Masechta, we still don't know everything about Me'ilah. But but most of it we've seen already. So it's going to be for us a great review. Tanan. And over here, we're going to get to review our very own Mishnah, the one we started off this morning. Kachem Mizbech Mitzarfen Zeim Zeh Le'Me'ilah. That way I have Kachem Mizbech. Look at the way the Mishnah phrases itself. The Kadashim of the Mizbeach are going to combine one with another for Me'ilah. Sounds like we're talking about all the different Karbanos. Now, according to Rav Yanai, there's only one Karban that's subject to me'ilam in the Torah, and that's the carbon ola, and there's no other carbonos that are subject to me'ilam in the Torah. How do you understand our Mishnah? So the answer you could give, and not only could you give it, the Gemara is about to give it, midrabanan, that our Mishnah is only talking about on a rabbinic level, meaning that our Mishnah is talking about me'ilah on a rabbinic level. You remember the first Mishnah of our Masechta, where we talked about where you had kachet kedushim that you shecht in the south, and whether or not it's good or not good, and it was a lengthy discussion in the beginning of the Masechta, but it could very well be that our first Mishnah was also only describing Me'ilah Midirabanan. So for a Mishnah to say the word Me'ilah and it meaning Me'ilah Midirabanan, it's totally a tenable position. We already saw in the beginning of the Masechta. Okay, so our Mishnah could be talking about on a level of Dirabanan. The Gemara quotes another Mishnah. Kachet Kedushin Sheshachtim B'Darim Olam Behem. The first Mishnah in the Masechta. I have Kachet Kedushin Sheshachtim in the south and it's subject to Me'ilah. And how did you understand that? And again, the Mishnah over there is not limited to Karbanola. It's talking about the Chatas. It's talking about the Asham. Kachet Kedushin. All Karbanos that fall under the category of Kachet Kedushin. Again, the Gemara's response, Midrabanan. Well, you could understand that the Mishnah is only talking on a level Dirabanan. Tanan. The Gemara is going to quote another Mishnah. Now, this Mishnah we have not yet seen. This Mishnah is coming up a couple days from now in the Masechta. It talks about getting benefit from a karban. An idea which we really haven't formally introduced yet, but we're about to see it in this Mishnah, and that's the following. We talk about the Isra Me'ilah, it's getting benefit from an item. When I get benefit from an item, has to also be depreciation of the item? Meaning, is the Isra of Me'ilah only going to be violated when I benefit and take away from an item's value? Or Is it just simply that I benefit from the item without depreciation? And the answer to that question is, it depends. It depends on the type of item that we're describing. If we're talking about an item that is subject to depreciation, so then mi'ila will only be violated when I actually depreciate from the item. If it's an item that's not subject to depreciation, so then the isra mi'ila is going to be violated just by me benefiting from that item.
But if you're not depreciating, how are you benefiting?
You're drinking from a cup. And you're now benefiting from the usage of that cup, even though you're not taking away from the value of the cup. We are going to give later on numerous examples to this distinction of items that depreciate versus items that do not depreciate. I'm just presenting it so that we understand this Mishnah. And this Mishnah teaches us, Hanenem and achatas kishi chaya, lomal ad shiyifko. If a person gets a benefit from a carbon chatas obviously subject to me'ila, which, by the way, is going to be the question. Because according to Rav Yannai, it's not subject to me'ila, at least not min haTorah. So when the animal's alive, so when is mi'ila violated? When you take away from its value, right? Rashi gives the example over here. You can see the Rashi inside. You ride the animal, and you're hitting the animal while you're riding it. So there, and we're talking about a chatas balas mum, as we're going to explain later in the Masechta. So there, because the item now is subject to depreciation, so therefore you're only going to be violating mi'ila when you actually depreciate the animal. So when it's dead, however, let's go back to the Mishnah, citation of the Mishnah. Kishi Mesa, when the animal's dead, Kevin Shenene Kol Shehu Ma'al. When you get any amount of benefit, even if the item is not being depreciated, so you're going to be Ma'al. Once it's dead, it's no longer subject to being redeemed. Therefore, it's not considered, doesn't file under a depreciating item. And so therefore, Mi'ila will come about just by benefiting from the item, even though you don't take away from its value. Anyway, we're talking about a carbon chatas and we're talking about the Isra Mi'ila. And Rav Yannai, how do you understand that Mishnah? And again, the same answer, Midrabanan. So that, well, he's going to say that Mishnah is only talking about the level of a Darabanan, not a Daraisa. And again, it's going to be the repeated answer of Rav Yannai. Umidaraisa lo, the Gemara continues, what do you mean? On a Torah level, no, Vatanya, what about the following? Rabbi Omer Kochel Vlashem Larabasim Murun Kachakalam Li Mi'ila. That kol chelav la'ashem, that anything that goes up onto the mizbeach is going to have the status of la'ashem, meaning that the imurim of shlamim, after zrika sadam, where now the imurim go up onto the mizbeach, the imurim are subject to mi'ila on a Torah level. In other words, it's a drasha. Now his response to that is midrabanan. Well, that's not talking about on a Torah level. That's only talking about on a derabanan level. V'hakra kanasiv la. So the Gemara says, how could you say that? We're darshaning a pasuk. So the Gemara says, well, what you could say is that the pasuk over there is just being used as a tool of asmachta, meaning that the chachamim, they go ahead and make takanas and gzeros, and sometimes what they do is that they use a pasuk in order to help us remember, right? They attach their idea to a pasuk, but the pasuk is not the source of the halacha. It's just simply a way of connecting it to the pasuk, but it's not really a din d'oraisa. Maybe that's what's going on over here. And again, more defense of Rav Yannai. V'hamar ulam Rav... I mean, okay.
It means like you can interpret it.
Okay, I hear. Again, the Gemara right now is trying its best to defend Rav Yannai. It's going to get to the point where it's too much. Right? The amount of evidence is going to lead the Gemara to the conclusion that can't be. But at least in the trials, in the laboratory of the Beis Medrash, so keep testing and keep testing. V'hamar ulam Rav Yochanan kachim shemesu yatsu midei mi'ila dvar Torah. So what about that statement of Rav Yochanan? This is now the third time in the Masechta that we're learning the statement of Rav Yochanan, notably quoted by Ula. Notably, that if I have a carbon that dies on its own, in other words, it wasn't shechted, just simply died, and it's therefore rendered an avela, so it is yatsu midei mi'ila dvar Torah. That it is no longer going to be subject to mi'ila min haTorah. Now, from there, a couple of things. Obviously, the assumption is that prior to its death, it is subject to mi'ila on a Torah level. Also, what it's indicating is that after it dies, it's subject to mi'ila on a derabanan level. And we already dealt with the various implications of the statement of Rav Yochanan. From our standpoint over here, we're just dealing with the big picture. You had a carbon. It died. It's no longer subject to mi'ila min haTorah. What carbon do you think he was describing? Now, if we're talking about kashabedek abayas, So an animal of kashya bedek abayas, like we discussed just a couple days ago, the chicken, right? Your makdish a chicken. The chicken itself cannot be brought as a carbon, so therefore it falls under the category of kashya bedek abayas. And what do we say regarding a chicken? It's subject to meila. In other words, if you benefit from that, once you're makdish it and you benefit from it, it's subject to the isra of meila. Was Rav Yochanan making reference to a chicken? The answer, of course, is no. Because when it comes to the chicken and the kedusha of the chicken and the isra meila chicken, it doesn't matter whether the chicken's dead or alive. Because again, what's meila there? Meila just simply says, I'm benefiting from its value. What difference does it make whether it's dead, alive or dead? The Gemara makes exactly that point. I feel ki may tsunami. Lo yuela da akdish ashpa lebedek abayas. Lav isbe meila. So let's say you're makdish your garbage, all the contents of your garbage. Right. Now again, it's not the nicest thing to be makdish, but if it has value, so then what you were makdish, of course, was its value, and it doesn't matter what condition it's in, it's going to be subject to meila. Same thing with the chicken. You're makdish a chicken, okay? So it died. But again, if it's kashya bedek abayas, as long as it has value, it's going to be subject to meila on the Torah level. So he's not talking about kashya bedek abayas. Ela kashya mizbech. Toraisa mi'isbehu mi'ila. So the Gemara says he's obviously talking about kashya mizbech. And the point obviously is that before it died, it was subject to mi'ila min ha'Torah. And once again now, there's just too much evidence. The evidence is overwhelming. That when we're talking about anything that is going to go up onto the mizbech, it is going to be subject to mi'ila. And it's not limited to carbon ola. It's going to be inclusive of chatas, asham, even the imurim of shlamim, like we just got done saying. Elahachi ka'amre debei Rabbi Yanai. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to modify. Meaning Rabbi Yanai was certainly saying something, but to understand him at his most simplistic level, which is what we attempted to do for this entire amud, so the Gemara says we're going to have to abandon that. But he didn't mean something. What did he mean? So the Gemara now reinterprets. If it's this pasuk of Kachi Hashem, according to Rav Yanai, what comes down now is that you only understand from this pasuk Kachi Bedek Abayis, but not Kachi Mizbech. Why? Because the pasuk over here describes Kachi Hashem. Meaning Kachi Hashem, according to Rav Yanai, that pasuk is making reference to anything that's exclusively within the domain of the Beis HaMikdash. But anything that's not exclusively within the domain of the Beis HaMikdash, i.e. a carbon, where parts of it are going to be eaten by the Kohanim and by the owners, so we're not learning out from that pasuk. Now, where do we learn it from? According to Rav Yanai, it's a wonderful question. I'm not sure what the answer is. But in other words, but not from that pasuk. According to Rav Yanai, that pasuk is only talking about Kache, Bedek Abayis, and also the carbon Ola as well. Okay, right. Other drushes to get us to that point. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the first Amud of the Gemara. So again, now we are into the fourth perek of Me'ila. We're talking about its starfus, and as long as we're talking about its starfus, so we're going to continue along the lines of tziruf of combination. We're on the Amud Beis. We're on the top. We're at the next Mishnah. Chamisha dvarim be'ola mitstarfim ze'im ze. So when it comes to carbon ola, so there are five parts of the carbon ola that are going to combine one with another. Now, combination one with another, so what are we talking about over here? So again, we could be talking about the Isra of Me'ila, and combination over here meaning to get to the Shava Pruta. We could be talking about the Isra of Achila, although when we say Achila by carbon ola, we're not talking about you and I eating it. You and I are not allowed to eat it. It's carbon ola, but still, Achila over here come from the perspective of the Mizbeach. And the Mizbech, if let's say you take noser of the carbon ola and put up onto the Mizbech, or you take pigle of a carbon ola and you put up onto the Mizbech, etc., etc. So all the various parts of the carbon ola are going to combine one with another. And the five parts are basar, the meat, the chelev, the forbidden fats, the solas, flour. Remember, with every carbon you have nesachim that come together with the carbon. The nesachim is a composite of three ingredients. It's going to be flour and oil mixed together. It's going to be like a loose batter mincha that's going to be burnt entirely on the mizbeach. And also there's going to be the yayin, the wine, which is poured on the mizbeach. So these are all the parts of a carbon ola that go up onto the mizbeach. So basar and chelev and solos and yayin and shemen. So all five of these ingredients can combine to get you to the isser of me'ila. Vishisha bitoda, when it comes to the carbon toda, so there are going to be six things that combine by carbon toda, and they are habasav achelev, Hasolos Hayayin Vashemin, everything we just described for the carbonola, plus also lechem as well, and also the bread. Now, when we talk about the bread of a carbon toda, bread of a carbon toda is not going up onto the Mizbeach, so that's true. Rashi over here points out, Shisha Dvarim Shebetoda Mitzarfin Zeim Zeh LePigol VeNosar VeTame. So they're going to combine one with another for the various disqualifications of consumption, meaning Pigol, Noser, and Tame. So that is what they're going to combine for. Obviously, we can't be talking about Me'ila, because the bread, you're allowed to eat. And not only are you allowed to eat, you're supposed to eat the bread of the carbon toda. So we're not talking about Me'ila, we're just simply talking about the disqualifications of Pigol, Noser, and Tame, because it still has a carbon, and it's still subject to all the disqualifications of a carbon. Another interesting point that comes out from this Rashi, next part of the Rashi, I'll say it outside, is that if you look at the carbon toda, what were the ingredients for the carbon toda that can combine with one with another? So it was everything we said above, plus also the bread. What did we say above? We said, basar chelev, soles, yain v'shemen. We're talking about the flour. So when we're talking about the carbon toda, we're talking about the flour and we're talking about the bread. It's a little bit confusing, right? Rashi says it's not confusing. Meaning when we're talking about a carbon toda, remember, a carbon toda is made up of two parts. It's a carbon animal and 40 loaves of bread. But on the animal side, the animal's treated like any other carbon, meaning the animal's going to have nesachim. And what's part of the nesachim? Flour, oil, and wine. So oddly enough, with our carbon toda, you're having flour as part of the nesachim, and you're also having flour regarding the lechem, regarding the 40 loaves of bread. So when the Mishnah here is talking about solas, it's talking about the solas in respect to the nesachim, and then the bread, obviously, is talking about the 40 loaves of bread. Just clarification purposes of the Mishnah. We start with the Gemara Masle Rav Huna LeRava. When Rav Huna was teaching over the Mishnah in front of Rava, so he said over the Mishnah, but he said it a little incorrectly. Chamisha Dvarim Ba'olam Mitzarfim Ze'im Ze'. So instead of saying the word Ba'olah, like we have in our Mishnah, he said the word Ba'olam. So he said the Mishnah a little bit wrong. And remember, time and again we find the Amoraim in the Beis Medrash. They keep saying over the Mishnah. Obviously, they committed to memory. They're saying over the Mishnah, and they keep refining and redacting again and again, making sure that they have the Mishnah down perfectly. So over here, it's imperfect. He said the word Be'olam. So Amarle Be'olam Kamart. What do you mean? Be'olam. Always. That's not true, always. So don't you have the carbon toda, whereby the carbon toda you have not five, but you have six? So it can't be le'olam. Le'olam means it's always. It's not always. So I'm like, tini be'olam. Okay, so correction. Now we already know the correction because we already saw the Mishnah in its finished form. So we're so smart. We already caught the mistake. Okay, good. Right, we had the answer before the question was given. So anyway, Amalei Tani Ba'ola. So Tani Lahad the Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes now the following Braisa. Olos V'imur, Mitzarf from the Chazayas. La'alos Sambachutz, L'chayv Alem, Mishim Pigol Nos V'tame. So the Ola and the Imurim are going to be Mitzarf, are going to combine for a Chazayas, for the Isser of Halah B'chutz, like we just described moments earlier, when I offer a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so one is subject to the Isser of Halah B'chutz. Shechting the carbon outside is also an Isser, that's called Shchut Echutz. Offering it outside is called Halah B'chutz. So if I offer, even though it's a combination of the Ola and the Imurim, they're going to combine to get me to the Kazayis to violate the Isser of Halah B'chutz. And also, Pikol Nos V'tameh, the Imurim and the meat are going to combine for that as well. Now, ketani be'ola in b'shlamim lo. Now, the Gemara over here is focusing on this brisa, and if you laser focus on the brisa is talking about a carbon ola. It says, it opens up with the word olos v'imurim. All right, imurehim, whichever is better diktuk. But anyway, so we're saying that by carbon ola, the imurim and the meat combine. What does it sound like? What's the inference, the implication? So it sounds like this true only by an ola, not by karmi shlamim. Let's think about that. Now, bishlam ala alos amechutz ola dekalalhu mitzarfin shlamim lo mitzarfin. If we're talking about the isser of halah b'chutz, it makes perfect sense. It really does. Because consider, by the carbonola, what happens to the imurim of a carbonola? Sent up to the mizbech. What happens to the basar of a carbonola? Also sent up to the mizbech. So therefore, they're both supposed to go up onto the mizbech in the azara. If I take both of them and offer them outside of the azara, So then you're violating the Isser of Halah B'chutz. And if I only have half a kazayas of one, half a kazayas of the other, they're going to combine. That makes perfect sense. And contrast that to Shlamim, because that's not true by the Karmish Shlamim. The Imurim go up onto the Mizbech, but the Basar does not go up onto the Mizbech. So obviously for the Isser of Halah B'chutz, they're not going to combine. I get it. So, but if we're also talking about the Isser Pigel Nosav Atame, which we are, so by Karmi Shlamim, what do you mean they don't combine? They are going to combine. Meaning Pigel Nosav Atame is an Isser of consumption. Once it is disqualified through any three of these disqualifications, either Pigel or Nosar or Tame, it is Usser to eat it. Eat it means proper consumers. Meaning the Mizbech eating its portion and the either the owner or the Kohanim eating their portions. And we know, we learned, the Gemara is going to quote the Mishnah, V'tanan, Kol ha'pikulim mitzarfim zeim zeh, v'chol ha'nosaros mitzarfim zu im zu. That when it comes to pickle, when it's nosar, they're all going to combine. Meaning if you have a consumer consuming, so then it's going to combine for the disqualifications of pickle. And nosar, and presumably tuma as well. So Ella Ema Ola V'imureha Mitzarf Min Zeh Zeh L'Chazayis L'Zarek Alayim Es Adam. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do just a slight modification of the Mishnah as we just quoted it. When it comes to the Ola and when it comes to the Imurim, so they're going to be Mitzarf one with another so that we can go ahead and sprinkle the blood. Meaning that in order to sprinkle the blood of a carbon, what do I need? I need carbon. I know that sounds simple, but basically it means the following. Let's say I shechted a carbon and I collected the blood and I just lost the entire animal immediately after the blood was collected, but before the blood was sprinkled. Now, when I say I lost the animal, I could mean literally. We don't know what happened to the animal. We simply lost the entire whereabouts of the animal. Or we could also mean halachically as well, meaning let's say the entire animal becomes disqualified. The entire animal becomes tameh. Or the entire animal was taken out of the azara. In any one of those cases now, am I allowed to sprinkle the blood? Meaning I don't have representation of the animal. As we're going to see in just a moment, this is a machlokas tanaim. Should sound familiar, because we've seen this time and again, many times. You can see on the side of the Gemara the number of times that we've seen this machlokas present itself. But right now, we're going to assume that you need representation of the animal. Well, what do I mean when I say representation of the animal? I need a kezias of the animal. Well, what if I have a half a kezias of the meat and a half a kezias of the imurim? Is that considered representation? And that's what we're answering, and we're saying yes. The kaven de mitzarfin lizarek es adam chayav. That's exactly the point of the brisa. That if I have a half a kezias of imurim and a half a kezias of meat, then now I have enough where I can sprinkle the blood of the carbon. Uman ketan la Rabbi Yeshua d'tanya. And now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Mishnah or Tosefta, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol Hazvachim Shebetorah, Shnei Shtarim Hem Kezayis Basur, Kezayis Chelev, Zorek Es Adam. Kechatzi Zayis Basur, Kechatzi Zayis Chelev, Eino Zorek Es Adam, Uva Ola Afilu Kechatzi Zayis Basur, Kechatzi Zayis Chelev, Zorek Es Adam, Imnei Shekulo Kalil. So when it comes to an Ola, so there we say that Basur and Imurim do combine because they're both going up onto the Mizbeach. But when we're talking about a Shlamim, so Basar and Imurim do not combine. Meaning if I have a half kezias of one, half kezias of another, they don't combine because they're two different consumers. Now when it comes to a mincha, even if the entire mincha is still remaining, you don't sprinkle the blood. Mincha, blood, what are you talking about? There's no blood when it comes to carbon mincha. So mincha maya vidate, what's mincha doing over there? Amara papa mincha sasachim. We mean in mincha sasachim. The chiddush over here is the following. Let's say we shechted a carbon. We lost all the meat. We lost all the imurim. We don't have any of that left over. But you know what? We still have the minchas asachim, right? Of all the things of the carbon that was left over, we do have the flour and oil and wine. So, okay, so is that enough so I could do zrikas adam? The answer is no. In other words, those are just simply accessories to the carbon. That's not considered part of the carbon. You cannot sprinkle over the nesachim. That's the point the Mishnah is making. Okay, so in our foray into Hitzarfus into combination. So we learned our Mishnah that when it comes to the carbon ola, all five parts of the carbon ola, the meat, the imurim, the solas, the yain, the shemen, so they're all going to combine towards the Isser of Me'ila, towards the Isser of Pigel Nosav Tameh, and when it comes to the carbon toda, and on top of that, the lechem as well. As long as we are now in the world of Hitzarfus, So here now, the Mishnahs and the Mishnahs are going to branch out. We're going to do one more Mishnah and one short piece of Gemara. But basically now, this is going to take us through the rest of the Perek, where we're going to be now on a tangent. And the tangent is going to be other things that are mitzarif, because they are categorically the same. Truma, Truma's Meiser Shul Demai, Chalavi Bikurim. So five items that basically file under the category of Truma. So obviously Truma itself, right? That's the first percentage that's taken off of the pile of grain, given over to the Kohen. How much do you have to take off? So Minat Torah, Chita Achas Poteres Sakri, just one kernel. Midrabanan, a 50th. And then with a range of, you can either go, you can give a little bit more, up to a 40th, you can give a little bit less, down to a 60th. But in other words, but basically on average, a 50th, about 2% of the grain goes to the Kohen. That's what's called Truma. We'll call it Truma Gedola. Truma's Meiser. When the Levi gets his 10%, so he takes of his 10%, 10% of his 10%, and he gives that to the Kohen. That's called Truma's Meiser. Truma's Meiser Shel Demai. Interesting that it's its own category, but when I buy produce from an Am Haaretz, so you have to take off 10%, give it to the Levi, because we're not sure if the Am Haaretz took off Meiser. All that Meiser that's given off to the Levi, so now 10% of that has to go to the Kohen. That's called Truma's Meiser. But it's categorically called Truma's Meiser Shel Demai, because we're not sure if the Am Haaretz took it off or not. Mm-hmm. Most probably he did, but still as a Chumah, we still take off Meiser anyway. Chala, that's the portion that's taken off of the dough. Bikurim, that's the first fruits of the year. All these file under the category of Truma. And therefore, Mitzarfin Zemzeh, Le'esor, Ulechayv Aleim Esachomesh. So all of them create Isser, and all of them are going to add up to be Chayv Echomesh. Meaning that we know that if you eat, if you are non-Kohen, were to eat Truma by accident, you're a Zar Sha'achal Truma B'Shogeg. So the halach is that you have to make restitution of that which you ate, plus you have to add on also 25%. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that even though I didn't eat a pruta's worth of Truma, but let's say I ate a pruta's worth of Truma combined, let's say half a pruta's worth of Truma combined with half a pruta's worth of Bikurim, because they are categorically falling under the category of Truma, so therefore now I am subject to having to make restitution and add a chumash. Kol ha-pigulim mitzarfin zeh imzeh, v'chol ha-nosarim mitzarfin zeh imzeh. Pigul and nosar combined with one another. I know you heard this already this morning. That's when the Gemara quoted the Mishnah. Here's the actual Mishnah itself. My time akula ikrei truma. As far as the Gemara is concerned, it all falls under the category of truma. Gabi chalak siv reishis ha-riso sechem. The drashas, the Gemara quotes. When it comes to chala, the Torah describes it as reishis ha-riso sechem chala tarimu truma. Pasuk says it, that it basically falls under the category of Truma. Gabi Bikurim Nami Ikrei Truma. Ditanya. And how do I know that Bikurim is also referenced to Truma? Because the Pasuk says, V'trumas Yadacha Elu Bikurim. So Trumas Yadacha, the Gemara Darshint, is a reference to Bikurim. Aval Inach Lo Tzricha. Now, as far as the ones that you didn't think falls under Truma, we have drashas that tell us that it does. What about the Truma itself? Obviously, the truma itself falls under the category of Truma. So Truma and Truma's Meister and Truma's Meister Shel Demai, they obviously fall under the category of Truma. The Chidushim are the last two, Chala and Bikurim, but because we have Pesukim, where the Torah identifies them as Truma, so therefore they are categorically falling under the category of Truma, and therefore they combine with the others.